Sister Carol. Brother Eric, can we go ahead and pass out those papers? Now, this is the same thing we passed out last week. If you don't have yours with you, or if you weren't here last Sunday night and you'd like to have one, would you raise your hand? I'd like you to have this to be able to look at. So even if you were given one and you left it at home or something, you may go ahead and raise your hand. And I think we've got enough probably to accommodate most of you. And in the meantime, if you'll turn to Luke chapter number 12, Luke chapter number 12. We have an enormous amount of material to cover in the next 2 weeks. And rather than go super long, what I've decided to do, I asked Brother Joe Asbury came and loaded on my computer PowerPoint. My wife helped me. That way, this is going to save us. We've written out the verses for you. It'll save us a lot of time as far as looking at the verses, but I want you to see the verses. I want you to see the verses. And how we doing, gentlemen? So we're going to do that. We're doing okay. Good. Good. Taylor, do you need one up here? John does, or someone does right here. Right up there, John Ross. Make sure he gets one. And if you don't have one, get your hands up high, 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 so they can see you. High. Thank you. Good. Good. All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Luke chapter number 12. And if you're there, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. And he spake a parable unto them. Verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now I'm reading this because we're going to introduce and start out tonight. So we do a quick review. We're going to fast forward and talk about managing and distributing the abundance. And then we're going to talk about borrowing money. And we're going to give you, I think, a biblical, accurate biblical overview of that and some of the consequences of that if you make that decision. So remember, verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so he was provided an abundance. And he's rebuked here for not, first of all, being rich towards God. And then it says, verse 22, and he said unto the disciples, wherefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for your body what ye shall put on, for life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me tonight, Lord, and we're going to be teaching a little bit different fashion, and Lord, I don't want that to be a distraction, I want it to be a help. So Lord, please give me clarity of thought and mind as we go through what needs to be taught tonight, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you'll bless this. Now, Lord, this could just be another 4 weeks, just another 4 sermons, and then January will be over. And another 8 Bible studies or 9 Bible studies, and then that will be over. And if we're not careful, Lord, we'll just be hearers of the word, not doers only. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to take this to heart, to get both hands around this. Lord, to get serious enough about this matter of our responsibility as stewards to make the adjustments that's needed in our life. Now, bless each one. I don't want this to discourage anyone. I want it to be an encouragement. I don't want this to drive a wedge between husband and wives. I want this to pull them together. And so I pray, Lord, that you'll help, please, do those proper things. Help us to react properly to truth. When we react properly to truth, things are fine. When we do not react properly to truth, then things continue to spiral. So I pray that you'll help us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You have the paper in front of you. I'm going to do a quick review, and you'll be able to look at your paper. If you don't have that in front of you, sometimes what's on the screen, I'm afraid you're going to get lost. I'm going to do a quick review, and then I'm going to jump forward in the slides, and I'm going to get right into the managing and distributing of the abundance. The first Sunday night, we gave you an overview, and I just talked through and introduced everything that's on this piece of paper. Last week, my intent was to cover the three sources of income, and then the three biblical sources or biblical three biblical areas of spending that income, and that I think are the marks of good stewardship. And so we're going to use the screen a little bit. I want to just review real quickly with you some of the things that we've covered so far. Oops. All righty. We said, first of all, in the introduction, the earth is, and everything in it belongs to God. If you don't understand what being a steward is and what stewardship is, it's going to be hard for you to get the rest of this. So let's just do a quick review. The earth and everything in it belongs to God. As a steward, He entrusts me with a portion of what is His. As a steward, I am allowed to draw my livelihood from what He gives me. As a steward, I am to manage all the rest for His benefit. It's the Lord's money. You need my mic on, don't you? Thank you very much. That was the Holy Spirit. I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. All right, is that good? You got me now? All right, okay. All right, Christian stewardship, let's review. Number one, the earth and everything in it belongs to God. As a steward, He entrusts me with a portion of what is His. As a steward, I am allowed to draw my livelihood from what He gives me. As a steward, I am to manage all the rest for His benefit, or at least get His okay before I spend His money. And then, as a steward, one day I will give an account for how I managed it all. Every parable in the Gospels that deal with stewardship and the Lord coming to make a steward give an account of it is a picture of the judgment seat of Christ. It's a picture of what we will one day do. Now, you better get that. Well, I'll just do whatever I want. I don't care what the Bible says. You're going to care on Judgment Day. You're going to care on Judgment Day. And so we want to make sure that we do right by that. Now, let me just go ahead then and do a quick review on some of the things we've covered. Into your stewardship box, you can look on your paper, the biblical income, your own labors. I won't go and read all the verses. Creative resourcefulness and answer to prayer. Now, that's the three ways God intends to put things into your box. When we decide that we're going to put it in some other way, then we get, I think, outside of the will of God. God says, work. If a man doesn't work, he should eat. God said, by the sweat of your brow, you're supposed to eat your bread. Creative resourcefulness. This is the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. This is our chance to maximize the resources, to maximize the income, asking God to give us wisdom. And we'll break that down in just a second, and answer to prayer. God also will answer our prayers sometimes and just give us. Out of your stewardship box, biblical spending, you'll look on your paper, giving. By the way, that's number one. That's number one. God says, I want the first fruits. You don't pay for necessities and then decide you're going to give. You don't manage the abundance and then decide what you want to give to God. Giving comes first. Tithes and offerings to the poor, other Christians. We taught these things last week. Pay for necessities. Paying for necessities. 1 Timothy 5, 8, 6 through 8. And that's paying our bills. Managing and distributing from your abundance. And this is what you're supposed to do. The idea is that God, through labor, creative resourcefulness, and answers to prayer, puts things into our box. Then we're supposed to say, thank you, Lord. The first thing I want to do is be a giver. And then after that, I want to make sure that I pay for the necessities of life. And then after that, there's going to be an abundance. And I want to make sure I manage and distribute that according to your wishes, Lord, and not just according to what I want to do with it. And then there are holes in our stewardship box. Stewardship, I call this complications. You know, these things complicate God's simple plan. They just complicate it. What are they? Paying off borrowed money. Well, all of a sudden, instead of just being able to give and to pay for necessities and to then manage the abundance, now we've borrowed money and now we've got to pay back borrowed money. Not only that, there's interest on that borrowed money, so we're paying interest on top of that. Then, if we're not careful, there are holes in our box because of impulse buying. We didn't plan that week to buy a certain thing. We just saw it, decided at the moment that we wanted it, and because we either had the money on us or because we had some way to borrow more, we just went ahead and got something that really we didn't spend much time praying about. We just fell victim to Madison Avenue and their slick advertising campaign, and they got our money again. And they got our money again. You know, unwise spending, when maybe we do need something, we aren't very wise in buying it or doing the research or pricing. We just buy and without really seeing if it's a good deal or not, and we're not very wise with our spending. When we fail to tithe,
and give offerings. The devourer will come into our life and give some of that. I just want to say a word about that. If you have already been convinced that, you know what, Pastor Jerry's right, and you know what, I need to rearrange my money, and I just can't afford to give, and that's the first area you go to try to cut back and save money, let me tell you something. All you're doing is increasing the effectiveness of the devourer in your life. You know, it's amazing. We won't consider impulse buying, unwise spending, or make changes in borrowing money, but we decide we can't afford to give as much to missions in 07 as we did in 08. Let me just tell you this. I'll just tell you what I do. I don't say a whole lot about my giving. The Bible says your right hand should know what your left hand's doing. I don't think it's anybody's business. But I will say this. Every year for the past many, many years, we've just decided in all areas of our giving to increase it every single year. By faith, increase it. Well, Brother Jerry, you must know that. No, we just increase it. And can I say this? God's always kept ahead of us just fine. And I think the worst thing you can decide to do is decide you're going to save money by beginning to lower what you're giving. I think that's the wrong thing to do. Replacing depreciating items. Sometimes we don't have a plan. Certain things depreciate. Certain things need to be replaced. And all of a sudden when they finally go, we don't have a plan. We didn't do anything to prepare for that. So all of a sudden there's money we didn't. And then calamities are catastrophic events. Brother Jerry, what if something like this big happens? You know, all of a sudden a kid breaks the arm or somebody gets sick and they end up in the hospital and we have these bills and we didn't plan on it. Well, we're going to cover that. And next week we're going to cover impulse buying, unwise spending, devour, replace depreciated items, and how to prepare for calamities and catastrophic events. And I think that that'll help you. We're going to talk mostly tonight about paying off borrowed money. Paying off borrowed money and interest on borrowed money. Now, let me go ahead because I'm going to fast forward real quickly here. Because of time. Now, what we covered, and look back on your sheet because I may have just lost you. You see the three arrows going into the box, labor, creative resourcefulness, and answered prayer. We covered those three last week. We also covered giving and broke it down. We covered paying for necessities, and we broke that down. Then I decided to close down because we went pretty long. I want to take a minute and talk to you about managing and distributing your abundance. Let's say that what happened to this man in this parable happens to you. All of a sudden, you get a windfall. All of a sudden, you get an increase. And it doesn't have to be thousands of dollars. It could be 10 extra dollars or 15 extra dollars or 30 extra dollars or 100 extra dollars. I mean, you know what? You were going along. You weren't really counting on this. And you know, Grandma sends you a little card and, man, for your birthday, and it's got a $50 bill in it. Thank God for grandmas. Boy, I tell you what. This is how you open a grandma birthday card. You go like this. And, you know, you just pray something falls out of it. And so that's my most grandkids open a card. They don't read it. They just want to see if any green stuff falls out of it, okay? Now, Christian stewardship, management and distribution of abundance. Some of you are saying, Brother Jerry, I don't have an abundance. How can I manage and distribute what I don't have? We're going to help you next week. Honestly, I promise you this. We're going to help you next week. If you'll plug the holes, then you know what you're going to find out? In the box, they'll start being in abundance. If you'll plug the holes. If you do not and will not plug the holes, you will never have the opportunity to manage and distribute abundance. And can I tell you something? You're missing out on one of the greatest delights of the Christian life. All of the selfishness in the world will never give you the joy and the pleasure of being able to have abundance that you can help other people with, give to the Lord's work, and manage and distribute properly. Now, let's see, what do I do, Brother Jerry, when I get an abundance or God gives me abundance? Number one, the first thing I'd look at is I look at an abundance as an increased opportunity to give towards what is dear to the Lord. Now, this should be your first consideration. Remember I said this? The first thing that comes out of the box has to do with giving. If God gives me abundance, then the first thing I ought to check with Him about is, Lord, do You want me to just pass this on, or is there part of this You want me to pass on and give in a special way to something that's dear to You? Now, you need to change your thinking. Okay? You need to confess the sin of covetousness. You need to stop thinking that every time God gives you a little extra, it's because now I get to go buy something for me. What a selfish, wicked way to live. If we get an abundance, more times than not, God didn't give it to you for you. He gave it to you to give through you. Well, that's good. Increased opportunities to give towards what is dear to God. Number two, I think when you begin to line your finances up and begin to manage your finances and plug some holes, what you're going to find is God begins to give you abundance as a reward. And the first thing I would consider is, God, is there a portion of this? By the way, any abundance, tithes and offerings ought to come out of. Any abundance. All your increase, the Bible says, tithes and offerings ought to go. So that doesn't even need to be prayed about. If you get an abundance, listen, I'm talking about kids. I'm talking about a kid in this room right now, and you got $10 for your birthday, and you know what? You spent it all on yourself. You know what? That is as wicked as can be. You stole a dollar from the Lord plus offerings. It says all your increase. You know what my hopes are? My hopes is that I can get this in the heart of some children. I can get this in the heart of some teenagers who right now have a box that's uncomplicated. And they can just say, I'm going to start working hard, asking God for creative resourcefulness, and praying to God. And then I'm going to be a giver, and I'm going to be satisfied content with what things as I have need of. And then I'm going to manage the rest according to how God directs me. You will live a happy, happy, happy life. A happy life.
Amen.
Okay? And now number two, the second thing you ought to take a look at is God gives you an abundance is, sometimes He will give you an abundance, and what you ought to do with part of that is then to begin to pay off past mistakes. Brother Jerry, I can't see any way to get out of debt. I want to just dare you to do something. If you'll do everything you possibly can do, and God sees that, He will begin to reward you with some abundances, but it's not just a reward, it's a test. He wants to see if you're real. Lord, if you'll just help me, I want to get this, and then I want to get this paid off. Lord, if you'll just help me somehow. And so you know what He'll do? He'll help you. And then if you run out and buy something for yourself and you don't pay some extra on a debt that you owe that you said you were serious about getting down, then don't expect the next one. Are you thinking about this? Paying off past mistakes. What else? All right, let me just encourage you to do this. There's a certain amount of depreciating items in your home. I don't know which one's going to go out next, and I don't know which one's going to go out in my house next, but I guarantee you sooner or later one of them's going to go out. That's why savings is important. I believe that you ought to take a certain percentage of what you make and you ought to put it into saving. Oh, Brother Jerry, stop talking about some can't afford savings. You're going to be able to because you're going to be plugging some holes. Okay? All right. So if you begin to save, put some away for savings, then as items depreciate and that they as they come to the point where they do break down unexpectedly, you will have saved back a certain amount for that type of thing, okay? And that way you're not always just knocked silly every time something goes out in the house. Paying forward on big ticket items. You ever heard the phrase, I'm paying off something? That's paying back. You went and borrowed the money, and now you're paying it off, or you're paying it backwards, plus interest. Someone says, well, I can't afford to put a car payment ahead. You can afford a car payment back. You just can't afford both, can you? So what are you going to do? Stay in the vicious cycle? You know, I'm making $250 a month car payment. And if you'd have been making that ahead, you could have bought a car. And then as you're driving that car, you could be making payments for the next car and make payments ahead instead of payments back. Well, Brother Jerry, but I'm caught in this. How do I do this? You sell the car that you have. You get what you can out of it. You go buy a car that you can afford, and you drive one that's not quite as nice, and you make payments ahead. But, of course, that wouldn't allow us to keep up with the Joneses. And since our image is tied to our vehicle, because you know the fancier car you drive, the more important a person you are, and the more impressive. I mean, we've fallen for Agassi made millions telling us in that silly commercial for image is everything. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Image is everything. Image is everything. Well, if I have a certain kind of car, though, girls will like me. Shallow girls, carnal girls, materialistic girls, silly girls. You want to marry one of them? She'll help you get farther in debt. Amen. Paying forward on big ticket items. I'm talking about managing and distributing abundance. Laying up for winter. laying up for winter. That's a very biblical principle. What does that mean? That means you ought to save some ahead. That means you ought to save some for the latter part of your life. You know what? Just like there's a year has its seasons, and there's planting, and there's growing, and then there's harvest, and then there's winter. Do you know what life is like that also? And you ought to be putting some up. And then also for this, notice this, and this is why I put this last. This usually is here. It's the first thing we think of when we get something extra. It's good. I've been wanting to go get me this. It's not a need. It's just something you wanted. You didn't consider whether or not God just wanted you to take that money and give it, part of it or the whole thing. You didn't take any of it and pass off what you've already got yourself in the hole. You didn't save any ahead or pay any ahead on anything. And you didn't lay any ahead for winter. And instead, we run right to the once column, and we think that all the abundance is for that reason. And if we're not careful, that really gets us in trouble. Okay, now, the very first one was on this matter of payback borrowed money. And this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. And I'm going to try to do one thing. I promise you this. Everything that you're going to hear from the Bible and all the Bible principles that you're going to hear, it's going to be very hard for them to help you if you don't stop the bleeding. You've got to stop the bleeding. I'm going to try to convince you that you need to stop borrowing money. I'm going to give you 12 different complications that borrowing money creates in your life. 12 problems with borrowing money. Now, you can't do a thing about what you've already borrowed. If you're going to be honest, you've got to pay it back, don't you? So you know what? You just got to hunker down and dig out. But I like to get a hold of some of you 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds that are making some money. I wish I could convince you just not to borrow. And if you have, to stop it. I'd like to come to you, some of you young couples. I love you to death. And I don't want to see you living under the stress that you're living under. You know what? Financial problems, one of the top three reasons, and maybe number one for marital problems. Financial stress in a marriage. It just causes problems, folks, that you don't need. So, all right, I've already borrowed money. All right? Okay, tonight's mission, tonight's goal, and we're going to cover as far as how to pay some of that back or how to get that taken care of, but I want to just get you to stop that. Please, stop borrowing money. Stop borrowing money. Stop. But I have to. No, you don't. Stop borrowing money. All right? Now, stewardship complications. You got to pay back the borrowed money, and then you have interest on the borrowed money, impulse buying, unwise spending, devour, and calamity. Now, these are the stewardship complications. Paying back the borrowed money, interest on borrowed money, impulse buying, unwise spending, devour, and calamity. Now, look at the bottom of your box there on your paper, and that's the things that are listed. That's where most people's money are going. That's where their abundance is now going. The abundance that you could be keeping in your box and managing and distributing for the Lord and paying ahead and doing some nice things and even every once in a while getting God to okay you going out and get something nice for yourself or the kids. I said every once in a while. That's getting eat up. And it's getting eat up because you got to pay back money you're borrowed. You're paying interest on it. You got to cut off the impulse buying. Let me just fix that right now. Ladies, your husband ought to give you a certain amount every week. Cash. Gentlemen, you ought to keep a certain amount of cash that you carry with you. That's it. If you want to blow it on pop all week long, blow it on pop. If you want to blow it on something, blow it on something. But when it's gone, it's gone. That's it. You limit what the cash you have on you. And then you eliminate the possibility of you buying something on credit when you don't have cash. And that will cure most of your impulse buying. Unwise spending, we'll talk about that. We'll cover these others later. All right, I want to talk to you about borrowing money. There's some stewardship complications, and we're going to talk about, first of all, paying back borrowed money. What is debt? Debt is a condition caused by choosing to operate on borrowed money. It's a choice you make. You choose to operate your life on somebody else's money, to live and have things on somebody else's money. It's a choice you make. Or it's a choice you choose not to make. Now, there's some real complications that happen when you decide, I'm going to have things, and I'm going to have certain things, and I'm going to go get somebody else's money, and I'm going to borrow it, and I'm going to use it to make sure I have all of these things. There are some real serious problems with that kind of living. Now, let me give you what those problems are, okay? Number one, it violates Scripture. That's a problem. That's a problem. I won't get all of you on board right now, and that's okay. If you've already in your mind got it in your mind that there's certain things it's okay to borrow for, I'm not even going to fuss with you. You know, you're going to decide where you're going to live and how you're going to live. I will tell you this, the quickest way to get out of the hole is just to decide you're going to stop. Just stop it. Just stop it. Say, well, Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but loving one another. I'm not sure that that's talking about money. I'm going to show you a bunch of other verses. I think by the time we get done looking at all of them and you take the whole, all of Scripture, you're going to say to yourself, you know what? Maybe borrowing money is not too smart. Maybe there's other ways that God will provide for me, or maybe God just wants me to learn contentment when He doesn't provide for me. All right? So, number one, it violates Scripture. Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. Now, I'm going to give you 12 consequences of borrowing, and it's not going to take long. Really, we're going to flip through them, and I want you to look at the verses and consider this, all right? Number two, the second reason, the second problem or consequence that comes with borrowing money is this. Look at this, and I want you to look very carefully at the verses I'm about to click on the screen. Indebtedness is identified in the Bible with judgment, and financial freedom with blessing. I promise you that's true. Let's look at some verses. Deuteronomy 15:8. For the Lord thy God does what? Blesseth thee. Amen. So this is a positive thing, talking about how God's going to bless you, all right? As He promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. So if God's blessing you, are you in the lending business or the borrowing business? If God's judging you, we're going to see this. If God's judging you, you're in the borrowing business. If God's blessing you and you're in the lending business. By the way, that word lending doesn't mean that you're lending money out even necessarily for usury. That means you're in the giving business. Or if you do lend it, you don't charge usury on it. Okay? God's blessing you, then you're in the lending business. If God isn't blessing you, you're in the borrowing business. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. That's very important. That last phrase, as you are going to see in a few minutes, is connected to that other phrase. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations. Why? Because you're the lender, not the borrower. But they shall not reign over thee. You know why? Because they're the borrower, not the lender. Stay with me. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure. That sounds like a blessing. The heaven to give the rain unto the land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. So when God's talking about the blessings of God being upon somebody, He's talking about you being freed from borrowing and having an abundance that you can either distribute or lend according to as He directs you. Let's look at these verses. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Wait a minute, are we talking about blessings or judgment now? If you don't hearken unto the voice of the Lord to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake curses. Now notice this, Deuteronomy 28:15. I don't have time to read the whole chapter. So 28:15 says, if you don't obey God and His commandments, you know what? There's going to be curses come upon you. Now you read all of Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it lists all of the curses that comes upon somebody who's insistent on ignoring the commands of God and just going to do things their own way. When you get down to verse 44 of that chapter, you read this. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He, speaking about another nation or another person, boy, you ought to get this. You get this? You want to be the head or the tail? All right. So indebtedness, folks, is a sign of judgment. Financial freedom is a sign of God's blessing on your life. Number three, it produces bondage to the creditors. Proverbs 22:7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. Now this causes a lot of entanglements into the world, into the world of world's affairs. 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. God could call some of you to the mission field right now, and guess what? You couldn't go. God could call some of you to preach right now and want you to go start a church somewhere. Couldn't do it. I've watched guys come to Bible college, 18, 19 years old, have to quit, not go into ministry, already in so much debt that they had to spend years digging themselves out before they could obey what God told them to do. You get entangled and you get under bondage. You're under bondage, you're stuck. You're not servant to the God, you're servant to the people that you owe the money to. You say, I'm not either, then stop paying them. No, just stop paying them. Show me how free you are. You see? Now, what I'm trying to convince you of, this is the whole purpose of the night. I told it right from the beginning. Stop borrowing. Stop borrowing. We can't fix the holes if you keep blowing more holes in the bottom of the box. If you plug impulse spending, but then borrow more, you're not getting ahead. If you say, well, I'm going to make wiser purchases, good. Praise the Lord. But if you continue to borrow, you're not going to get ahead. You're just blowing more holes in the bottom of the box, okay? Let me give you this. Borrowing presumes upon the future. James 4, 13 through 15. Well, these are astounding verses. I wish we could read the Word of God and really comprehend it, really believe it. Go to now, which is an amazing statement in itself. Go to now. I'll let you think about that. Ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. So when you borrow on time, you're presuming that you're going to be in good health. You're presuming you're going to be able to work. You're presuming that your job's going to hold out. You're presuming a lot of things in the future. You're taking from some things. You know, it's almost a statement of arrogance. I will be able to do this. I will. You know what? You don't know what you're going to, God's going to allow you to do or not allow you to do. You don't know. You know why? Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It presumes upon the future. And so be very careful in this matter of borrowing, because I think it makes a statement. It makes a proudful statement about the fact that you are going to be able to do this, that, and the other, and that may or may not be true. Let me give you this. I like this, the way this is stated. It gives the illusion of independence. It gives the illusion of independence. This is the kind of mentality that we see amongst a lot of young people, a lot of people that are in financial debt. You know what? If I want it, I'll get it. I'll show them. Now, I'm working and I don't have enough money coming through in with the job through work to pay for this. And I'm asking God to give me some creative resourcefulness, but so far that hasn't produced the money to get this. And I've prayed and that hasn't produced the money to get this. But you know what? I'm going to bypass labor, creative resourcefulness, and praying. I'm just going to go borrow the money and get it anyway, because I'm my own person and that will make me independent of Almighty God, and He's not going to control what I can and can't do. That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying, you see. Now, let's look at the verses. Lamentations 3:37. Wow, this is an incredible verse. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not? Now let me remind you of this, James 4:14 through 17. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, not if MasterCard will or Visa will or the bank will. For you ought to say, if the Lord will. So I'm going to run it by the Lord. And you know what? If He lets me do it, I'll do it. If He doesn't let me do it, then I'm not going to do it. Let Him have the veto power. But now you rejoice in your what? Boastings. All such rejoicing is what? Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. Isn't it interesting that that verse there gets quoted a lot in defining sin, but it's taken out of context? You know, the thing that you knoweth to do, but we seldom do, is let God manage our life. Let God manage our resources. It gives the illusion of independence. Well, I'm going to do this anyway. What's another? It places your wife and children at risk. 2 Kings 4:1. This is an interesting story. I wish we had time to read the whole story. Read it this week. Now there cried a certain woman. Notice who this woman was. Of the wives of the sons of the prophets. This was a PW, prophet's wife. All right? She came to Elisha, and she cried to him, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is what? And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." So he was a good man. He feared God. He was a preacher of the gospel. He was a prophet. Let me tell you something else about him. He was in debt. I'm saying he wasn't a good man. I'm not saying he wasn't serious about the ministry. He's just in debt. Then he died. And the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. So this man put his wife and children at risk by getting into debt, getting in with creditors, and then he died. You know why? Maybe because he was boasting himself of tomorrow. Is this making sense to you? You say, "Well, Brother Jerry, I'm worth more dead than alive. I've already taken care of that. If I die, it might be the best thing financially ever happened to my wife." Can I say this just to all of you? I think that might be a good thing to do. Even you young men that are married and you say, "We don't have a whole lot of income," I think that you probably ought to, you talk to people that are smarter than me, but you can get a term life insurance policy for a very little amount a month, and if something were to happen to you and you were to die, then your wife is taken care of. I think it's important. I think you ought to make provision for that. But let me say this. Many, many, many more people will be injured and disabled and not collect life insurance policy than will die and collect insurance policy. It's not just a matter of death. What happens if something happens to you and you can't work, but it doesn't kill you? You're in trouble. You see. And so it places your wife and children at risk. Number seven, I love this. It removes barriers to harmful items. I want you to consider this. For, you know, let me just give you this. I'll give a personal testimony here. Not everything Jerry Ross wants, God wants him to have. Not everything Jerry Ross wants is good for Jerry Ross. I may think it'll be good for me, but God may not think it'll be good for me. Okay? So it removes barriers to harmful items. Now watch this. James 4:3 says this. He asks. Sometimes we pray and ask God for something. And what? So did he want to give it to you or not? Okay, why? Why was he so mean? I wanted this and I prayed and God didn't answer my prayer, so I'm going to go get it. I'll just go borrow the money. Wait a minute, wait, stop. Because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. See, God doesn't just look at what you're asking for. He's looking at the motive behind what you're asking. I think I've got a good motive. I think I always have good motive. Let me tell you something. That's not always true. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? I can talk myself into thinking I need something I don't need and want something that God doesn't want me to have. And so if I pray about it and ask for it and God doesn't give it to me, then what I need to do is realize that maybe sometimes God's smarter than me. Maybe God knows me more than I know myself. And sometimes when I receive not that which I've asked, it would do more to hurt me than help me. James 6:9, they that would be rich fall in temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And a lot of times this will to be rich, this will, this covetousness that drives us, and man, we can make it sound so spiritual. We can play it up and we're going to use it for the Lord. And it's amazing how deceitful we are even to ourselves. All the things we really want, we just want them. You know what? I'm just wondering, $2,205 million in the Powerball drawing. I wonder how many Christians sitting in this room have a lottery ticket in your pocket. Let me just tell you something. The reason you got it is because you're covetous. No, I just did it because I wanted to help missionaries. You're lying to me, you're lying to God, and you're lying to yourself. Amen. Boy, amen, amen, amen. Scoot back up in your seat. Come on, scoot back up. Worst thing for you. Worst thing for you. I won't buy one. I send my wife to buy them. And, get my hands into that, you know, so. Brother Jerry, I just really want this. I want this. Well, pray about it. Work for it. Ask God to give you some wisdom, creative resourcefulness, and then pray about it. But if God doesn't provide for it, He is wiser than us. He is wiser than us. Okay? Demonstrates discontent with the basics. What's the basics? Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. God goes on to warn us, for the love of money is the root of all evil. which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. With many sorrows. Many sorrows. Everything that you think materialistically is going to make you happy, or the money, if you only had, you could really be happy, you would find that it brings more sorrow than happiness. I don't believe it. Read about the lives of the Hollywood stars. Read about the lives of the people out there that's made their whole life about getting things and getting money. Most miserable bunch of people you ever met in your life. Most miserable bunch of people you've ever met in your life. You see, love of money is the root of all evil. I will say this, I said it a minute ago, but I promise you this is true. I believe this with all my heart. The sin above all sins that's absolutely destroying the cause of Christ is covetousness. Covetousness. It's not perversion. It's not sexual perversion. It's not even pride. It's covetousness. Covetousness, 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 covetousness. We are discontent with the basics. We are discontent with God just meeting our needs. And if God won't do more than that for us, and He has, every one of us, He has done more than our needs. But if He doesn't give enough of our wants, then you know what? We're just going to go get them. And what that is saying is, I am not content with the basics. I'm not content with what God has provided for me. It devours resources through interest payments. Now, these two go together, of course, because you're not only paying back money that you borrowed, which is causing something to go out the bottom of the box, but along with that goes the interest on that money. And the interest rates, folks, do you get as many of those things in the mail as I do? It's absolutely incredible. I just wish they'd send me the money that it costs to print all that stuff that they mail me that I'm going to rip in half and throw in the trash anyway. If they just send me that money, I'd be content. Maybe. See, not only do you have the abundance that you could be managing and distributing, but then we don't, because we got to send it back to the people we borrowed the money from, but we got to give interest on top of that. And I think the Bible uses this as a test. This is an amazing portion of Scripture. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So God uses money as a test as far as our faithfulness and our wisdom. And if we flunk that test, God won't entrust to our care true riches. He just won't do it. Now, let me just give you something to think about. Interest payments. Interest. Borrowed money and interest payments. I wanted to thank Pastor Ross for handing over to me the reins of a church that's debt-free. I want to thank the people in this church also, because it's not just Pastor Ross that done it. You have no idea, folks, the burden that releases this congregation from, and the ministry from, not having to make a mortgage payment, not being in debt, not having $100,000 indebted that we've got to pay back through our tithes and offerings, and the interest on top of that. Sean says, and I don't know this church, and I hope I don't get... Maybe I shouldn't have probably said the name, but Brother Brian Shonset just moved from Oregon, moved from a church. I don't know the church. I'm sure it's good people. Pastor may not have had anything to do with this. He may have inherited, I don't know. But here a while back, they built a building that was almost $3 million, and they borrowed the money for it. You know what their monthly payment is? Monthly. $12,000. Can you imagine? You say, Brother Jerry, that's crazy. I know, but you'd be surprised how many churches are making... You say, that's extreme. It may be extreme. You'd be surprised how many churches are making a $5,000 a month payment, $4,000 a month payment, $3,000 a month payment. And think about that. I want you to just consider this. By the way, would you be for that? Would that make you happy if we were burdened with that kind of thing around here? If we had to take that much money a month and send it away, you have any idea how many ministries that we're now operating we would not be able to operate? You know how many staff we now pay we would not be able to pay? Think about this. If I said to you, you know what, we all got sappy and we all got tender-hearted, and when Pastor decided to retire, we gave away the church car. Amen. That was a blessed thing to do, wasn't it? So Pastor Jerry gets up in the third business meeting of me being pastor and said, guys, I really need a car, so let's just go borrow $10,000 and let's get a car. You see, and so we're paying back now $10,000 and interest on top of that. Wouldn't it be better for us to do what we're doing and pay ahead on a car and then eventually buy it? Why are you upset if the church does it, but you're not upset when you do it? You want us to be accountable for what you give, but you don't want to be accountable for what God gives you? I'm just giving you these things to consider. Okay? Wives, what did I tell you last week? I got your house bugged. I got your car bugged. You go home and you're a discouragement to your husband. Shame on you. I mean it. I said shame on you. That's just wicked. Do it. It's not going to help a bit. Go home and rant and rave and gripe and complain. Run him down because this, that, and stop it. Why don't you decide you're going to be a blessing and help, figure out a way to help? Amen? And same thing with your husbands. I'm just telling you. You go home, you say, see, the reason we're in the picture is because you do this and you did and you mismatch. Be quiet. It doesn't help a bit. It doesn't help a bit. Okay? I'm just giving you things to think about. Think about this. Stifles resourcefulness. Remember we talked about creative resourcefulness? I want to say two things about creative resourcefulness before I mention this. The minute I start talking about creative resourcefulness, there's two inherent dangers when you bring up that subject. By the way, that is a biblical way that God gives people extra money. People think of creative resourcefulness, the first thing many pops in their mind. And by the way, Christians are the biggest suckers for this of anybody in society. Get rich quick schemes. There's more Christian people involved in these pyramid scams. Or fall for those silly infomercials that were on all afternoon. Some guy trying to convince you in a half hour that if you'll just order his $79.99 kit, you can drive. I mean, they'll spend the whole half hour showing you people living in nice houses and driving around in BMW convertibles and talking about, boy, they just got this in 3 years. You know, and sometimes Christians are the sappiest people. Fall for those silly things. That's not creative resourcefulness. The Bible teaches against get-rich-quick schemes. Okay? Second thing I want to warn you of, making merchandise of God's people. All right, I'm just going to tell you, oh, I'm this creative resourceful. I've been praying about Brother Jerry, and this is what I want to do, and if I can get everybody in the church on with me, and if I can just get them all to buy this, stop that. Stop it. I mean it. Stop it. I will say this. I don't mind that you ladies, if you want to have one of these hen parties every once in a while and sell some things, if some of the girls want to go to it and it feels a need and they want to buy something and that's a blessing to both of you, I don't mind that. But don't pressure people. I mean it. Don't pressure people. Most of the folks, I don't know. I don't know everybody's, but a lot of the folks buying that stuff, probably that money would be best going to some of the things that we talked about already earlier. You know, if your way of getting out of debt is putting more people in debt, stop that. That doesn't help. Enough said? Okay, just look. Now, it stifles resourcefulness. Now, let me share this with you. I love this. Think about this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in the field, the which, when a man hath found it, he went out to the bank and borrowed money so that he could buy the field. Because the treasure was there and he'd be able to pay the money back. So that was creative resourcefulness. Is that what it says? In the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth and for joy, therefore goeth and what? And does what? So he used creative resourcefulness. He said, these are the things I already have. Let me see. What can I do? This is a good investment. I'm going to raise the money by the resources God's already given me, so I'll sell what I need to in order to do that. Didn't borrow a dime. Didn't borrow a dime. You see, folks, what happens is when we go right to the borrow as a first option, then we don't ever stop and say, Lord, could you, if this is your will, would you give me an idea? Help me look at all that you've given me, and if this is what you want me to do, give me some creative way that I can raise the money or have the money or liquidate something to get the money that I already have, but don't go borrow the money. You say, well, I've already looked at that and there's nothing there. Then I would take that as no. That would be a no. Okay? Another verse. Let me go into this one. It prompts impulse buying. Borrowing promotes impulse buying. Proverbs 19:2. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteneth with his feet does what? The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. By the way, that's creative resourcefulness. But of everyone that is what? Impulse buying. If you don't have a thing against borrowing and you're willing to borrow and you borrow on a regular basis, you will buy things on impulse because you can borrow the money to get it that if you just didn't believe in it, you wouldn't buy. And Pastor Ross taught us this for years and years and years. The money's in your pocket and you see something and you pray about it and God says, get it. You've got the money in your pocket and He okays it. Fine, get it. If you don't have the money in your pocket, that's a no. It is possible to go to Terre Haute, go to a doctor's appointment, come home, and not stop at a store. It is possible to walk into a store with three things on your list that you've already prayed about, pick those three things up, go pay for them, and walk out and not buy anything else. It is possible, ladies, to drive by a Walmart and not stop at all. It is not possible, men, to drive by Gander Mountain. I've been in Gander Mountain three times. Last three times I was in Gander Mountain. Didn't buy a thing. I just like looking at the stuff. Didn't buy a thing. Planning on it one of these days. If I can talk God into it. This is the last one. We're done. Encourages living outside your means. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Isn't that interesting? The very first requirement to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is the ability to say no to yourself. When you want something, when you want to do something, but God doesn't okay it, do you have the ability to say, fine, thank you, Lord, I'll be content. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. We could get leaps and bounds ahead if we just, Lord, plug this major hole in our life. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do that. Please. Lord, I pray for each and every family that's here, Lord, that you would help them as they begin to make the adjustments and changes in their life that they need to make. Lord, that you would please help them and bless them, bless their efforts. But Lord, I understand that even with that blessing, there's a testing. Help us to Lord, show ourselves faithful in the unrighteous mammon. So then, Lord, that you would be willing and able to bless us with true riches. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.